In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. I like to observe things in life and make a connection to something, make a spiritual connection. That happens to me all the time. No matter where I am, no matter what I'm doing, I always see these kind of connections to things. And when you see parents taking care of their children, this is a fertile field to see connections to the way God takes care of us. So a couple days ago, we had a meeting because we want to school all of the children in the church. We want to be a resource for some, a 100% resource for some, maybe only a day, whatever, so that the children do not have to go to the public schools, which of course are a complete cesspool. We don't want them in there. But we had that meeting. And the meeting went on kind of long, and there were children there. And Noah, his hair was all sweaty, and he had been playing. He was tired. And it was time to go home, to go to sleep. So he said, I didn't witness this, but my wife told me this. Doesn't matter if I would have seen it or not. It has the same impact upon me. It's just a very beautiful moment. Noah said, as he was snuggling up on his mommy's shoulder, can I just go to sleep on you right now, mommy? So you think she said yes, you think? You think? So this is an image of how God takes care of us. Now it's much more, God takes care of us much more than that, because just like Noah is just a child now, but eventually he'll be a grown man and he'll be holding his mother when she's old. So God takes care of us in ways that I don't think we often fathom. I think if we really understood, everything that's trivial in life would be completely unimportant to us. We wouldn't get excited about anything that normally irks us or normally concerns us or normally is a priority for us. It just wouldn't matter, because we would understand the dignity with which we were created and the purpose for which we were created and how we can only obtain that promise through Jesus Christ. So the tie-in to the ascension is that God came down from heaven, became a man, lived that life that we were incapable of living, and then made us capable of even greater life than he lived on the earth, to ascend into the heavens, body and soul, to be with our Lord. Just like a child is taken care of by his mother because he's incapable, and then he grows to maturity through her assistance, through her love, through her training, and of course the training of his father and all of the ones around him. So I want to read you something from last night. This is really profoundly beautiful. It has that image to me of Noah snuggling up on his mother saying, can I just go to sleep now? And also the image of the ascension, that indeed the human flesh is being deified by Jesus Christ ascending into the heavens. So it says, this is from Isaiah, the second reading from Vespers yesterday. I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord hath bestowed upon us, and the great goodness towards the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies and according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their Savior. In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them, and he bare them and carried them off all the days of old. Isn't that a great description of the incarnation? That in their afflictions he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence, his personality, his personhood, his deity, his humanity saved them, and he redeemed them, and he bare them, and he carried them all the days of old. So we're being carried up to heaven today. That's what's happening. This is a prophecy of what will happen to us. Our flesh be united to our spirit, our perfected flesh, not the flesh we have now, not the flesh now that gets tired or needs glasses or coughs in the morning or gets sick. or has trouble with thoughts or anything else, all the things of the flesh that are in this world will not be in the next. We will have perfected flesh with our soul and united to God in the heavens. What a beautiful thing. Why is it that we can't remember this every moment of the day? It's a mystery to me. It really is. I hope it's a mystery to you too. Why is it? Why is it that we don't remember that all the time and instead just engage in just petty things all the time? I don't understand that. It's a mystery to me. It will be wonderful when there's no longer petty things, when there's no longer destroyed things, there's no longer decaying things. There's only being with Jesus, being with the Lord, as St. Paul talks about it in the fourth chapter of 1 Thessalonians. We'll just be with the Lord. And this is what we're celebrating today. So I thought I'd give a short, since there are some that are catechumens here, a short kind of catechesis on ascension, sort of the essential points. I think I just told you the essential point. The essential point is that our flesh will be deified. And if we believe this, then we should live a certain way. We should change the way we're living. We should always live with that knowledge and that blessed hope in mind. And if you have that knowledge really firmly in your heart, you wouldn't sin, ever. So obviously we don't have it firmly in our heart because we do sin. So the Lord had told his disciples many, many times that he needed to go away and then he would send the Comforter to them. And they didn't really believe him. Well, they didn't believe a lot of things, did they? They really couldn't comprehend that this beautiful man who was leading them all over the countryside teaching and was doing remarkable and marvelous things, that he was going to go away. They thought it was going to last forever. They didn't really understand what he kept saying, that if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. They didn't understand this. And they certainly didn't understand that I must go away or else the Comforter will not come. They didn't want to understand those things. They just wanted him to be with them all of their life. But of course, the Lord was not with them all of their life. He died on the cross. He ascended into the heavens. And he spent 40 days with them. I was just asked a question today about what did the Lord do all those 40 days? Well, we don't know. We have a few accounts in the scriptures. There certainly must have been other things that happened because the apostles suddenly got pretty smart. So the Lord must have really educated them by being in their presence multiple times, but we don't know those times. They weren't mentioned in the scriptures. As far as I know, we don't know anything about the other appearances of Christ to his disciples except what's in the gospel. And then after 40 days, and I've talked to you about this before, it's a perfect number for him, a number of days after Pascha, because the Lord had in mind, of course, that the fulfillment of the law comes through the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit helping us in all things and revealing all things to us. So it makes sense that the Holy Spirit would come on Pentecost when the law was given. And the disciples, because they were still ignorant, they were still thinking in a fleshly, earthly, temporal way, they were surprised when the Lord came on Pentecost. But I'm sure in hindsight they thought, of course, what other day would he come? But the Lord had to ascend first because he has told them, if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit won't come. So he ascended on the 40th day after Pascha. That's if you count Pascha as the first day and you count today as number 40. And 40 is a combination, the multiplication of 4 and 10. And of course, 10 is the commandments, and which are not in totality, right? There's other commandments that are even greater than the Ten Commandments, because the Ten Commandments don't say, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and all your mind and your neighbors yourself. But still, they are a representation of all of the law of God. And all of the law of God is fulfilled through the evangelical precepts in the Gospels, 4 times 10. They probably thought about that later and thought, since he said he would ascend or he would leave us, they didn't really know he was going to go up on a cloud into the heavens, but he would leave us. They probably were thinking in some way that maybe he'd die, and they were confused by that because he was alive and he had risen from the dead. They probably couldn't really put these things together. They should have figured it out. Well, we wouldn't have figured it out either. So the Lord rose into the heavens on the 40th day after Pascha, and a few days later comes Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit with tongues of fire over their heads to enlighten them, to warm them, to rebuke them, to comfort them, to give them life, everything they needed with the coming of the Holy Spirit into their life. So I just told you two things that are major in the ascension. The first, of course, is that we get to be carried by God into heaven. That's the most important thing, body and soul. And then the other thing is that, of course, that if God did not leave the earth, the Spirit wasn't going to come. Now, the other one is that, sometimes I say there are four, but then I can't remember the fourth one, but I do remember the three. So the third one is that they were standing looking up into the heavens, watching the Lord rise. I always have this image of looking at a balloon as it's going up, right? You keep looking and looking and looking. You say, I think I still see it. I think I still see it. Now it's, I think it's really gone, right? Finally, you can't see it anymore. I think that's what the Lord, they were doing with the Lord. They were looking up, and he was getting smaller and smaller, and finally they couldn't see him. And then the angels come and said, Men of Galilee, what are you doing? What are you doing standing there looking up into the sky? This Jesus, which you saw rise up in the same way he's going to come back. So now I remember the fourth thing. So the third thing to me is that you're standing there. What are you going to do? You got to go into Galilee. You've got work to do. And the reason you have work to do is because he's coming back in exactly the same way that he rose up. Well, not exactly this time. When he comes back over the Mount of Olives, coming from the east on a cloud, there will be all of the angelic hosts and all of the church triumphant, all of those who have departed before us. And those who have departed will rise up first and accompany the Lord. And then those who are still living, the small remnant of man that is left at the end, will also rise up and will meet him in the clouds. And then we will be with the Lord. So the second coming is prophesied, and the coming of the Holy Spirit is not fulfilled, but the groundwork is laid for the Holy Spirit to come, and we are told of how our souls and bodies will be united with God in the heavens. That's all in the ascension. And then you apply all that, and the angels are saying, Men of Galilee, what are you doing just standing here? So what are we doing? Why are we just standing here? Why don't we live a more vigorous life? Why don't we pray with more blood? Why don't we love our neighbor more? Why don't we have more of a heart that is soft and feels the needs of our brothers and sisters? Why is that? I don't really know. I think we all have to answer that question personally ourselves. And we have to lament that our heart is still cold in some way. But it can get completely warm and completely soft. That's the teaching of ascension. It's a beautiful teaching. It's an inspiring teaching. I would say, perhaps a little bit controversially, maybe, I would say the Feast of the Ascension is more important than Pascha. That's kind of a crazy thing to say, maybe. But the fulfillment of Pascha is in ascension. The Holy Spirit comes on Pentecost to help us fulfill the promise of Pascha. And what is the promise of Pascha? That we would ascend into the heavens. So here we see the end of the story, ascending into the heavens with God and being with God at all, always. So there's really, you really can't say one thing's more important than the other. That's just the kind of thing to get people riled up and their ears to perk up a little bit. All of it's important. But the end is us in the heavens with God. So I would say to you the same thing I say to me. Why is it that we do stupid things? Why is it that we stand there, as it were, just kind of standing in our life, not really making progress? Why is that? Well, I don't know. But we can change. God will help us to change. That's a glorious and a beautiful thing. That's what we're celebrating today. The eventual complete perfection of man to be with God, body and soul in the heavens. May God bless you and help you in all things. Amen.